On the show today, we have Pure IT Creating Services' very own Trent Henson and Gene Fredrickson talking about the SolarWinds breach and the credit union connection. How did the whole thing work, and how can credit unions defend themselves from something like this? So check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And we have the gentleman from Pure IT Credit Union Services on the program today. Right next to me is Mr. Gene Fredrickson. Gene, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I trust everything's okay with you, too.
So far, so good.
All right.
One day at a time, like about everybody.
But I appreciate the only way, my friend.
Thank you so much. And then right below us is Mr. Trent Henson there, looking very dapper today, Trent. Well done.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. How's your day going?
So far, so good. Even better now with you guys on the show. So we're happy to have you. Happy to have you guys on here. And so we're talking about, we're talking about obviously cybersecurity with you guys as always and what's going on out there. And in particular, we're talking about the SolarWinds breach and then how that kind of relates to your credit union's board. But Gene, do you want to start out with here? Can you kind of refresh our memory about the SolarWinds breach? And then we can kind of lay the foundation from there and move forward from there.
Sure.
And Trent, you can chime in anytime as well if you like.
The SolarWinds breach has been in all the cyber journals for the past few months. It's easily the largest, most sophisticated breach I've seen, and it was well designed, well executed. You hate to give the hackers props, but they did an extremely good job here. Now, maybe the concept of what they did is a little different, but as usual, we always like to start with a plain English description. So for that, I'm going to kick it over to my esteemed partner, Trent, and let's go.
All right,
well,
plain
you,
English,
Gene.
Trent.
Plain English. So the best way I have described this to other executives and board members is using the example of counterfeit money. Okay. So if I am one of the people who unfortunately has counterfeit money in my possession, I don't know that I have it, but I'm carrying it along with me. And I go to 1, 2, 5 different stores, and maybe I spend some of this money, maybe right. Some of it is counterfeit. Mm-hmm. Some of those stores may detect that by checking the money. Some may not. And those that don't pass that counterfeit money along to other people, and it spreads fairly exponentially. The person who initially spent that money, so me in this example, I had no idea that I was spreading anything bad.
Right.
So in the real world, what has happened with SolarWinds is very similar to that concept of counterfeit money. SolarWinds was attacked by hackers. They did it, as Gene said, in a very sophisticated way. I don't like to give props either, but they did. And it started to spread among their customer base without the customer base even knowing that this had happened. Very similar to the counterfeit money.
Wow. Sounds like a kind of a familiar virus we're all used to that we all know really well as well. So, gosh. So I'm going to kind of cut to the chase here. So what does this mean for credit unions? I want to kind of connect the dots here to credit unions. Does it mean anything to credit unions, if anything? Or Gene, do you want to take
this? Sure. From a credit union perspective, there are a couple things that we really need to we really need to make sure that we look at. first of all, this the type of the approach that the hackers took opened back doors, right? And so very very quickly, the hackers were smart enough to compromise the update server. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, when you get up in the morning and you look at your iPhone and it says, oh, my OS was updated last night.
Yeah.
You didn't know. So what the hackers did in this case is they compromised the SolarWinds update server. So their 18,000 plus customers went out and automatically downloaded the update, which was infected.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, they provide services to tens of thousands of other people. So even though I didn't know I was key in spreading that infection, I might have it on my computer. So first of all, from a credit union perspective, if you're not using SolarWinds, that doesn't mean you're out of trouble, right? Or if you've got a good patching strategy, that doesn't mean you're out of trouble. Because of the nature and the spider-like tendency of what happened, it's very possible that someone who is infected is now in your supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using a third party to move files, move money, clear transactions. If they're infected, you will become infected. So it's very important now to think not just in terms of you isolated, but is you a link in the supply chain?
Good.
So Trent, your perspective?
Yeah, I would like to add a little bit.
Sure.
SolarWinds as a company have roughly 300,000 customers worldwide. 18,000 of those, which Gene mentioned, had downloaded this infected update. So law of averages, 18,000 out of 300,000, there is a good chance that financial institutions have downloaded the infected software.
Mm-hmm.
We have some credit unions who did, in fact, download the infected software. Fortunately, they had the proper countermeasures, and I'll let Gene talk about the defense in depth, but they had those in place where it did not impact them. But we don't know about the rest. When you consider 18,000 random users out of a mix of 300,000 worldwide,
mm-hmm.
there is a good chance that a number of those are financial institutions and a number of those are credit unions.
Goodness. So it's not a direct hit. It's an indirect hit. I mean, sometimes it doesn't get directly to, it kind of takes its own little path and gets to you through two or three other people. So tell me about like Trent mentioned, Gene, tell us about the defense that credit unions were able to kind of thwart this effort from this virus or from this breach.
Sure. So, you know, I've been around a long time. That's putting it nicely, right? defense in depth is something we've been talking about. And looking back briefly at Trent's money example, that's an attack where counterfeit money ultimately wants to get way down the chain and end up in Mike's pocket, right? But there are layers of defense. If you try to spend it and the pen or the clerk has the pen and sees his counterfeit mm-hmm. and doesn't get it in the cash drawer, the attack stops there. If it gets by the clerk, gets into the bank, there's another layer, right? So there are steps of checking for counterfeit currency along the way.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the SolarWinds breach, it was, you can't just count on patching. You just can't count on virus detection or malware detection. You've got to have a concert of tools working together to look for things going wrong. So it starts with the internet. It makes it to your internal network through your applications and finally down to your data. Your job as a CISO is to make sure that those protections are in place to stop it from getting from one zone to the other.
Got it. Trent, anything else to add? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would add a little bit further some technologies that are available now, both emerging and existing, is the Gartner framework that they created in 2019. And to be fair, they didn't create a net new technology. They framed a lot of existing technologies into a framework to help give you that defense in depth. That is the SASE architecture,
mm-hmm.
a big part of that. So that is a framework. Some of the technologies used in that are ZTNA, so that is Zero Trust Network Access, and the software-defined perimeter, the SDP. And what that really boils down to, using that plain English approach again, is because of the pandemic, one of the things that we learned at all of the credit unions is, A, we can work remotely. We do not have to be inside the credit union to do a number of the functions, but in working remotely, we have realized there's a whole new threat. There's a whole new avenue of attack that is open to us. These newer approaches, this zero trust network access, this is designed to focus on who you are, not where you are. Mm-hmm. It's designed to focus on what data do you need to do your job, not where does the data reside. Where you are is more of, and I would venture to say, more of a legacy term at this point, because users can easily work from their home, from a hotel, from any remote location, as made evident by the pandemic. Yeah. So this new framework is built around that very premise that we need to protect you no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm. And do we need to take it a step further to what does this incident mean to a credit union's board in discussing matters with them? What do you have there on this one, Gene?
So the role of the CISO or the information security department is to make sure that when you walk in and talk to them, they understand this is a 100 pickpockets milling through a crowd kind of attack. And if you go in and you come up with a very technical explanation, your job is to make them understand. Mm-hmm. And if you use a tool like Trent's with the counterfeit money, that's what it's all about. Yeah. But the board needs to be aware that the scenarios and the world is changing. So as they oversee the cybersecurity and risk management functions, they know what's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that illustration that you pointed out, Trent, I mean, just makes it clear as day. And so when you're speaking with a board, many of whom are not experts in this area, obviously, but maybe there are a few are, I'm sure. But man, when you can illustrate it like that, it really paints a clear picture and you're able to communicate more effectively. And so that's huge in an instant like this.
I would like to add that while this has been a horrible breach, and I agree with Gene, probably the largest breach that we know of, mm-hmm. and I hope there's nothing larger, but one thing that this has done is brought this into focus, made it very clear for employees and board members alike that security is a real concern, mm-hmm. something that we never thought of. No one ever thought of someone the size of SolarWinds being used in this way. It has happened. It has made a lot of news. Hence, we're doing this interview now. Yeah. So taking advantage of that heightened awareness is something we should really take advantage of. And I love Gene's description of it's really to make them understand. It's not to talk techno babble in geek speak. I'm fortunate, and I think I'm dual language certified. So techno babble and geek speak and talking to the business. So the key thing is using that heightened awareness right now to talk to the board members, to talk to the executive team about what can we do in our credit union to heighten our defenses, to make sure that we are as good as we can be mm-hmm. with the tools that we have. And it may require purchasing some new tools, but it's that Gene said it, understand. You need to understand the risk that you have. And are you willing to accept that risk?
Yeah, and take the measures to protect yourself. And I also heard mm-hmm. about that this breach was so sophisticated. So like you guys said, I mean, you're given props, unfortunately, but it also set a template for other hackers to use. It's like, hey, this is a blueprint for other hackers to go, hey, you know what? Hey, thanks guys. Now we can, we have something to build on, you know? Right. So what are the chances of somebody else planning something like that? There could be somebody planning it right now. So credit unions also have to be aware of that, right?
I'll take the first answer on that one. And that is absolutely. So part of this hack alone with SolarWinds wasn't just for those hackers. That backdoor that Gene mentioned, that is a backdoor that many different bad actors could walk through. Certainly. Take that a step further to what you just said, Mike, and that is other people, other organizations trying to do something very similar. So again, using this heightened awareness, making sure that they understand mm-hmm. and putting the proper countermeasures in place, having that defense in depth puts the credit union in a much better position than many are right now.
Yeah.
Gene, would you like to add anything?
No, that was well said. You know, the last piece of what needs to change with us, Trent made a good point that the hackers are sharing. They're very, very good at sharing information or selling access or whatever comes out of this. We have to learn to share. There are organizations out there like the ISACs, specifically for credit unions, mm-hmm. the NCU ISO. Join an organization, hear what others are doing, share, benchmark. Yep. That's the way we get better. Yep. We don't get better in a vacuum.
Well, and credit unions are so well known for their collaboration in other areas.
Right.
So why not cybersecurity, you know? So collaborate in that, even more so, I would think. That would be
right.
Move that up on the priority list big time to collaborate about that stuff. I mean,
even more so. Yeah, phrase I would like to leave with anyone that watches this broadcast is vigilant patching is not enough. It may have been at one time, some time ago, but where we are right now, you can be as vigilant as I'm doing patches daily, mm-hmm. but patches alone do not give you that defense in depth. They do not give you a solution to thwart the sharing and the sophistication of the hacker networks that are out there.
Yep, indeed. Gene, anything else? That was great.
No, it's anything else? I'll just give Trent an attaboy. It's vigilant patching is part of defense in depth. It's not the total solution.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for the education today, and always appreciate your points of view. I mean, you guys are the experts out there, and thank you for all the work that you guys do. You're basically on the front lines too, helping protect credit unions and their members' information. So we appreciate all the hard work that you guys do as well. So thank you.
All right. Very good.
You are very welcome.
All right, guys.
Take care of yourself, Michael.
And you as well, sir. You as well. And keep up the good work and be well, be safe, okay?
All right.